Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainus Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah, at the upper part of Daf Hei, 7 lines from the top. The Mishnah, Ad Mosai Shoyalim Es Hakshomim. Until when do we request in the Shmona Esrei rain? And that is reflected by the insert, V'sein Talu Motor Livrocha, that we add in the bracha known as Birchas Hashanim. So until when in the year do we request rain? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Shiavor HaPesach, until the passing of Pesach. Now, we saw this expression in our previous sugya explained at great length, but for our purposes we will simply leave it at that translation level. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ad Shiyetze Nisan. Rabbi Meir says that the request for rain continues till the end of the month of Nisan. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Vayored lochem geshem moire umalkoish borishon, that I will cause rain to fall in the first month. That's the month of Nisan. The Gemara asks a question regarding this last pasuk that was quoted from Yoel Perek Beis Pasuk of Gimel. Mention was made of rain and the different names that are assigned to rainfall that happens at different times during the rainy season. Amongst the names cited here were Moreh and Malkush. Now, Moreh, or as known also as by the term Yoreh, that is characteristic of the first rainfall that generally occurs in the month of Cheshvan. Before we go further into the Gemara itself, there's a note on the side, the Mivneh, the structural note, and we indicate that this structure will take us all the way till Daf Vav Amud Aleph. So you can see there's a rather long theme running through all of these Gemaras, and they are the crown shape that you see featured are She'elois Rav Nachman L'Rav Yitzchak, and the double underline in the Gemara will highlight the names. Questions that are posed by Rav Nachman to Rav Yitzchak, and the inverted crown shape represent Shuvoisov, his responses. And very often you'll see that he is quoting Hochi Om Rav Yochanan, that Rav Yitzchak quotes Rav Yochanan, and that we highlight with this dashed underline, as you can readily see by just scanning ahead in the Gemara text. And he'ora, we have a note that Roiv Hasheelos Haim Befirush Hamikra. Most of the questions, not the first one, but the second question onwards, you'll see most of them are questions regarding how to understand various psukim. And you'll see that we have a dot underline under the expression my dichtiv, that which it says in whatever pasuk will be asked as we go on. But the first question is not pasuk related, but it's actually in the sense it is, because it's a question on the pasuk cited in the Mishnah, in just that we don't have the my dichtiv introduction as we will in the next questions, but it too is a question on the pasuk. Omar Lei, we continue in the Gemara. Omar Lei, Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak. Rav Nachman asks, Yoreh Benison, who? The pasuk mentioned Moreh Borishon. Borishon is Nisan. Is Yoreh a characteristic of the month of Nisan? Yoreh b'mar cheshvan hu. Yoreh, the Yoreh rain, that's the first rainfall of the rainy season, that falls in the month of mar cheshvan. Desanya, Yoreh b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan, as the Brisa clearly says that Yoreh is the early rainfall, Malkosh is the name of the rain at the end of the rainy season. Omar le, hachi om Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yitzchak answers in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that this pasuk, there's a whole background to this pasuk, and note by way of markings that we have a long answer. So Rav Yitzchok tells us, "Bimei Yoel ben Psuel niskayem mikroze." In the days of the prophet Yoel ben Psuel, there was this pasuk fulfilled. This pasuk was fulfilled. Dichtiv bei, regarding that time, it says, "Yeser hagozum ochal ha'arba." There was a plague of locusts, many different kinds of locusts, and whatever was left over by one, the other one consumed. And the pasuk goes on with a list of different kinds of locusts that consume the crops. Oysa shana yotza ador velo yordu gishamim. That year there was a plague, there was a drought, and the month of Ador passed and still no rain had fallen. Yorda lohem revia rishona be'echad benisan. The first rainfall fell when? The first of Nisan. And there you go, that's a first rainfall being in the first month, the month of Nisan. When we say the first month, that we order the months starting from Nisan through Adar. Nisan, the first month, Iyar, the second month down the line. However, as far as the rainy season is concerned, Nisan is really the end of the rainy season, yet the first rainfall in that drought year fell in that very month. Omar lohem novi l'Israel, and the prophet told them, tzu v'zaru, the grains that you have left, go and plant them. Upon seeing that first rainfall, now is the time to plant, bearing in mind that you're at the very end of the rainy season. Omru lo, the people responded, what kind of request is that, that we should go and plant the few seeds that we have left? Mi sheyeshlo kav chitim o kavayim saurim. Someone who has a kav is a measure. It's a small measure of wheat or two kav of barley. Yochlenu v'yichyeshri, eat it and survive. O Yisraelu v'yomusen, or plant it and die in famine. There's nothing else to eat. Omar lohem, the Novi said back. The prophet said, afal pikein se'u v'zaru. Even so, go and plant it. Nase lohem nes. A miracle happened and there became revealed. Niskala is revealed to them, that which was hidden in walls. Different types of varmints, like mice will take grains and hide them in walls, or ants, chorei namolim, in ant holes, ant colonies. So there were grains that were in those locations, not very much, but enough to survive on. So it became; those became revealed. Yotsu v'zaru sheni u'shlishi uvi. So after that first rainfall, the population, having now had something to eat, went ahead and planted on the second of Nisan, the third and fourth of Nisan. And as far as we just said, but we're repeating ourselves, you'll ask, what did they survive on? They survived on that which we discovered in the walls and in the ant colonies. V'yarda lohem revia shnia b'chamisha b'nisan. And a second rainfall. The word revia is a reference to a rainfall. A second rainfall happened on the fifth of Nisan. Hikrivu oimer b'shisha asar b'nisan. And they miraculously were able to harvest a crop, a barley crop, and offer on the 16th of Nisan, which is basically 11 days later, 11 days after that rainfall, which watered the grains that they planted. 11 days later, they harvest ripe barley grains, and from that we're able to process and make the meal offering, the barley meal offering that's offered in the Beis HaMikdash on the 16th of Nisan. Nimseis, the result of this is Tavua HaGedeilo B'Shisha Chadoshim, grain that usually takes 6 months to grow, Gedeilo Be'echad Asor Yom, grew in 11 days. From the 5th of Nisan till the 16th of Nisan, they were able to reap a harvest from that which they planted 11 days earlier. In other words, on the 16th of Nisan, they were harvesting something that had been planted and or we should say watered for the first time on the 5th of Nisan. Nimsa oimer akorev mitvua shel shisha chadoshim korev mitvua shel achadoser yoim. And as we said, the result of that was that grain that takes 6 months to grow grew in 11 days. Val oisa hador hu oimer, regarding that generation, we have the posuk in Tehillim from the Shir Hamalos. It says hazorim bedima berina yiktzoru. They planted with tears, meaning they had nothing to eat. They planted the little that they had left to eat, so they planted it in tears, and they harvested in joy. The pasuk goes on to say, "Haloich yelech uvachoy noisei meshech hazora, boy yavoy barina noisei alu moisav." The Gemara analyzes this pasuk. My haloich yelech uvachoy noisei meshech hazora, bo yavo barina. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains. Amar of Yehuda, shor kishu chureish hoylechu boiche. The ox, as it goes and plows, it plows, and it, so to speak, maybe because of the strain or the stress that it goes through, it's portrayed here as it goes and it cries as it's plowing. Ubachazi rasoi, and on its return trip, oichel choses min hatelem. Vezehu boi yavoi barina. It was what happened there miraculously, as the plow, as the animal came back on its return trip, it was eating from plants that sprouted immediately into fresh grain sprouts that the ox was able to eat from as it was returning in the return plow, after it plowed a furrow and it comes back to plow a second furrow. It was already able to eat grains that were sprouting from the first furrow. So that's Holoch Yelech Uvocho. In one direction it was crying, and Bo Yovo Brino, it came back, the return trip, in joy. My Noisei Alu Moisov, what is meant by that expression? Omar Rav Chistov Yamri Lo B'masni Sotona. Rav Chisda, and some versions have this as a Tanaic teaching, that the grains of that year were kona zeres shiboilas zrosayim. The term zeres is a measure. So the general dimensions of a stalk of grain is such that the stalk is 4 or 5 times the height of the grain collection of grains, of kernels that are at the top, the comb, if you will. However, there, as described in this pasuk, the kona, the stalk was one zeres, and the shiboilis, the top of the grain where the kernels are located, were 2 zeres in size. Quite miraculous, where, as we beforehand, we said that the normal relationship is one part grain to 4 parts stalk. Here you've got 2 parts grain, 1 part stalk. Omale Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchok, my dichtiv ki kora Hashem lo ra'ov v'gam bo el eretz sheva shanim. You can see that there is some relationship here in the terms of the psukim. The first, we had a pasuk from Yoel that described a drought. Here we have a pasuk describing famine, and it's from Melachim Beis Perek Ches Pasuk Aleph, that describes it was a famine lasting 7 years. Bahanoch sheva shonim my ochel. During those 7 years, what did the people eat? Omar lei hochiyom Rabbi Yochanan. Shana Rishonana, we've underlined each one of the years. The next 3-4 lines, you can see each year is explained. Shana Rishonana Ochlu Masha Bebottom. The first year, they ate that which they had stored in their houses. Shnia Ochlu Masha Besados. The second year, they ate whatever stuff was left in the fields or whatever grew on its own. Shlishis Besar Behemot Tahora. The third year they slaughtered kosher variety animals. They ate meat. Revius Bosser Behemo Tamea. Now the famine was becoming intense, so they ended up having to kill unkosher variety animals. That's all that was left. Chamishis Besar Shkotzim Ramosim. The fifth year they ate the flesh of forbidden, other forbidden creatures that are, we can say in halachic terms, more forbidden than Behemo Tamea. Behemo Tamea includes things like pigs and horses, camels. Shkotzim Ramosim include things like different types of rodents and insects, and there are more prohibitions that are assigned to one who eats those than even a Behema Tamea. Shishis, Basar, Beneim, Uvnoisam. The sixth year, my understanding is that some of the people became they ate the flesh of their children, and my impression is that children that had died in the famine, so their parents ate their flesh. Shvius Basar Zroosehem. And the seventh year, they ate the flesh of their own bodies. The Zroosehem means their arms. L'kayim Ashinemar, to this serves then as fulfillment of that which the Pasuk says in Yeshaya Perek Tes, Pasuk Yutes, Ish Basar Zroo Yochelu, that man came to eat his own body flesh. The Omar le Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchok, Mai Dichtiv, Bekir Becha Kadosh Veloy Avoy Bo'ir. Now, here, the Rav Nachman's question is based on translating the Pasuk, you come out to something that makes no sense. Mishum de Bekir Becha Kadosh, because in our midst there is sanctity. Loy Avoy Bo'ir, would the Almighty not come into our midst? If anything, the opposite is the case. If you have a society where there's sanctity, so all the more so the Almighty will want to dwell, so to speak, in their midst. So the Omar Lei, Rav Yitzchok answers, Hochi Om Rabbi Yochanan, Omar HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Loi Ovoi B'Yerushalayim Shalmala, Ad She'ovoi B'Yerushalayim Shalmata. First we translate, I won't enter, says the Almighty, I won't enter my heavenly Jerusalem until I enter my earthly Jerusalem. Rashi explains a bit more. We're looking here at Rashi, five lines from the bottom. Lo yovo b'Yerushalayim v'chalei v'hochi komar. Ad shehe b'kir b'chokadosh l'mata, until there is sanctity in your midst in this world. Dehainu Yerushalayim. Lo avoy b'ir shalamalo. I won't enter my heavenly Jerusalem. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, so to speak, I'm waiting for you. These are, of course, very, very deep, mystical ideas that are beyond the purview of a Gemara marking Daf Yomi Shir, but nevertheless, one gets a sense of the importance of our getting our show, our act together, and achieving heights of sanctity and proper behavior, thereby enabling Kiviyochol the Kodesh Baruch Hu then to enter his heavenly city above. So the Gemara continues, Umi Iko Yerushalayim Lamalo, is there a heavenly Jerusalem? Answer in, yes, Dichtiv, the Pasuk indicates this, Yerushalayim Habinuyo Ki'ir Shechubro Lo Yachtov. Now we look at Rashi, four lines from the bottom, Yerushalayim Habinuyo Ki'ir Shechubro Lo Yachtov, Yerushalayim Shelamato Tehei Binuyo Ki'ir Shechubrola, Jerusalem below will be built like the city to which it is attached. Shehi Kayotze Bo Chaverta, another a sister city. V'dugmosa Michlal V'dugmosa, another sister city with the same image. This implies Michlal Deiko Yerushalayim Achriti, that there's another Jerusalem. V'heichon Imlo Lamala, where is it if not above? Now, we continue in the Gemara. V'omar le Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchok, Mai dichtiv, ube'achas yiv'aru, v'yichsolu musar havolim, eitz hu. So, this pasuk, without literally translating, it indicates that through one sin, the wicked will burn. So, what is that? Omar le hochi Omar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Yitzchok answers, Achas hi, there is one sin, shemiva'eres rishoyim begehenim, that burns the wicked in purgatory. Mahi, and what is that one sin? Avodah Zarah, it's a reference to idolatry. So that Rabbi Yitzchok is revealing that this pasuk uba'achas yivaru v'yichsalu is a reference to idolatry. And how do we know that? Ksiv hocha musar havolim eitzu. Uksiv hosam, regarding idolatry, there's a pasuk that says, hevel hemo maase tatuim. So that second pasuk, you see the word hevel in there, clearly a reference to idolatry, helps to explain this pasuk, v'achas yivaru v'choslu, where you also see the word havolim, hevel, plural of hevel, hence it's a reference to when the pasuk says eitzu, it is wood, meaning it's wood of idolatry. How many idols were made of wood? And it's through the sin of idolatry that the pasuk says the wicked will burn in purgatory. The Omar le Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchok, Mai dichtiv ki shtayim ro'ois oso ami. Translated means that my nation violated two evils. It did two sins. So this pasuk is found in a context in Yirmiyahu Perek Beis, and upon this Rav Nachman asks, what do you mean two sins? Tartin hu dahavu? Were there only two sins? Esrin va'arba shvika luhu. There were 24 sins that they had violated. There's another explanation found in the Rashi, and that is that they violated the teachings of the 24 books of the Tanakh. So what is the Pasuk's purpose in featuring two sins? Amale hochi om Rabbi Yochanan, achas shehi shkula, continuing at the top of Omid Beis, kishtayim, shkula kishtayim. There is one sin. Now, shkula generally means that's equal to, or that has the weight of two, but shortly we'll see how we can't leave you with that simple translation. There's more depth to it than that. And anyway, what is that one sin? Umay nihu avodah zarah. It is idolatry, similar to the drusha we saw before. Now, so this pasuk, kishtayim rois osa ami, that my nation violated two. What does it mean they violated two? So you'll see that they violated one sin, one avera, that makes them worse than two other nations. And that will become clear as we go along. We should point out, by the way, that this answer that Rav Yitzchok is giving is a long answer. So you can see we have a long answer marking. You need to learn all of these lines to appreciate what he means when he says, Achas shishkula kishtayim. What is that one sin? It's the sin of Avodah Zarah, and that the Jewish people had violated idolatry, making them worse than two other nations that were also idolatrous nations. But we'll see what the point is as we go on in the Gemara. Dichtiv. Kishtayim rois oso ami. My nation violated two evils. Osi ozavu. They abandoned me, says the Almighty. Makor mayim chayim. The source of life, of the water of life. Lachtsov lahem beirois boirois nishbaram. To hew out for themselves broken cisterns, broken pits. Uksiv behu. So far, we see the pasuk describing the Jewish people as having abandoned their God. Uksiv behu, and regarding them, these other nations, other idolatrous nations, it says, ki ivru iye kitim uru the kedor shilchu v'hizboinu ma'oid. The pasuk is making reference to two nations, the Kusim and the Kadorim, two peoples. Hahemir goy Elohim, the Hamor lo Elohim, would a nation Hamir, like the word Tmura, is to exchange, to change something. Would a nation that has their idol, their idolatrous form of worship, trade it in, exchange it? When they wouldn't do it, even though it's the Hamalo Elohim. They're not a source of godliness. The Ami, but my own nation, Hamir Kvoidoi Belo Yoyo. They traded in their glory, meaning their worship of Hashem, for something that has no value. So let's go over this point again, maybe in simpler terms. What characterizes these idolatrous nations? They are loyal and faithful to their god forms, to their idols, even though they're useless. But once someone has an allegiance to their idol, they don't trade it in. So they have their gods, and they don't trade them in. They're loyal to their gods. But our people, the Jewish people, the Pusuk is describing, didn't maintain their loyalty to their God, to the God, the Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. They traded him in. They were, in that sense, lower, worse than these other nations. And we're featuring two nations, the Kusim and the Kadorim, and that's the spirit of the answer of Yitzhak was giving before. One sin that makes them, the Jewish people, worse than two other nations. Whereas, now we're repeating ourselves, whereas those two other nations had their God forms and stuck to them, the Jewish people were worse than those two nations in their choice of idolatry, thereby trading in their God, the Almighty God of the universe. Tana, and we elaborate in this Tanaic source, Kusim oivdim lo'esh, the Kadroim oivdim lamayim. The two nations we mentioned before are described here as fire worshippers, that's the Kusim, and the Kadorim were water worshippers. And if you focus on the Kusim, for example, even though they're well aware that water extinguishes fire, in other words, they knew that their god form is subject to elimination, Lohemiru Elohim, they didn't abandon their gods. V'ami Hemir Kevoidi Beloy Yoyel, and my nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu laments, traded in their honor, their God, for something, for idolatry, for something that has no value. So, all said and done, this was all brought to explain the pasuk that we saw at the bottom of Amud Aleph, Kishtayim Ro'is Oso Ami, and we now understand what that's a reference to. We continue, V'yomalei Rav Nachmon L'Rav Yitzchok, Mai Dichtiv, what is the meaning behind this? And before we go on, we have a topic heading on the side, Mahu Pirush HaPosuk Vayhi Kasher Zokein Shmuel. What is the meaning of the posuk that describes a time that the prophet Shmuel, prophet Samuel, became aged? V'chi Shmuel Hoya Zokein, was Shmuel aged? Harehu Niftar Kishoya Rak Ben Chamishim Ishtayim. He died when he was all of 52 years old, quite a young man. So, the Gemara. Rav Nachman v'Yomalei Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchok Ma'idichti Vayi Kasher Zokein Shmuel, and it was when Shmuel became aged. Umi Siv Shmuel Kulehai, was Shmuel so aged? V'ha Bar Nunbeis Have, he was all of 52 when he died. The Yomar Mar, the Gemara says in Maseches Moed Katan, Meis Benunbeis Shana, if a person dies at 52, Zehu Misasa Shel Shmuel Haramasi, that's the death that Shmuel experienced. He died at 52. Omar Le, so we have to explain, what does it mean that it was when Shmuel became aged? So Rabbi Yitzchok answers, Hachi Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Zikna Koftza Olav. Old age took over him rapidly. Shmuel became outwardly aged. His hair turned white, And the Gemara explains this answer. This answer, by the way, also is a very long answer. As you can see, we've marked it off as such. So, now the background. Dichtiv. Nichamti kimlachti es shol. The Pasuk says that the Almighty, if you can speak in human terms, he regretted, he had a change of mind that he had appointed Sheol as the king. Now, just technically speaking, who appointed Sheol as the king? Now, of course, that was the will of the Almighty, but it was he was appointed through the prophet Shmuel. And now we see that the Kodesh Baruch was upset with Sheol, the king. Omar Lefonov, Shmuel said to the Almighty, and Shmuel feels bad, so to speak, that his protege or his student, his disciple, is going to be removed. So Shmuel says to the Almighty, Ribonu Shel Olam, Shakaltani Kemoshe V'Aron. In the Pasuk, you consider me equal to Moshe and Aaron. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Moshe V'Aron B'choyanov U'Shmuel B'korei Shmoi. So you see that Moshe and Aaron are on one side and Shmuel on the other side. There, Shmuel is considered equal to Moshe and Aaron. Ma Moshe V'Aron lo botlu ma yisei yedeihem b'chayehem. Well, just like Moshe and Aaron were outlived by their Maisi them, their student, literally Maisi them, their product, their working, but it means that Yoshua was a student of both Moshe and Aaron, and Yoshua outlived Moshe and Aaron. So just like the student of Moshe and Aaron outlived them, and didn't expire in their lifetime, Afani lo yizbatel maase yodi bechayai. So too, I don't want my student Sheol to die in my lifetime. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hechiavit. Now the Kodesh Baruch Hu is in a bind, so to speak, again speaking in human terms. What am I going to do? And here we used a triangle to highlight the various stages of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's considerations, what to do. See, on the one hand, he has to eliminate Sheol. On the other hand, you have Shmuel that's pleading that he should remain so that Shmuel should not see the death of Sheol. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, what am I going to do? Lemus Sheol, to have Sheol die, lo koshavik Shmuel. Shmuel's not letting me. Lemus Shmuel, for Shmuel to die right now, so that will enable me then to eliminate Sheol, Adazuter, since he's so young, Miranini Abasrei, people are going to start casting doubts and aspersions toward Shmuel, that how can a man so young die unless it's because of his sins? And Shmuel, of course, was a very pious individual, and wouldn't die so, and doesn't deserve, so to speak, to die so young because of sins. But I can't have Shmuel die now, because that will just arouse all kinds of public suspicions about him. Lo lemus Sheol v'lo lemus Shmuel, to keep them both around, kvar higia malchus David. The time has come for the monarchy of David to take over. The ein malchus negas bechaverta afilu kimlo nimo. There is no overlapping of reigns, of kingships, even of a hair's breadth. In other words, when the time for the second one to come, the first one will have had to already departed. Omar HaKodesh Baruch Hu. So the Almighty comes up with this idea. Akfitz olav zikna. I will have Shmuel, who's relatively young, appear in the eyes of the masses as old, and that will stop them from casting their suspicions about him. They'll see him. They don't recall his birth date, his actual birth date. They see an old man, and when he who appears to be an old man dies, people associate that with old age, and so that's what I'm going to do, says the Almighty. Hainu dichtiv, and now with this explanation in mind, we can now understand the pasuk that says, just let us add one thing. Now, once Shmuel dies, then Shaul can be eliminated. Once again, once Shmuel dies, then Shaul can be eliminated, thereby enabling David to move in as the new king. The pasuk says, V'shol yoshev begivo tachas ho'eshel beroma. Now, here we have to translate. Shaul was sitting begivo. Givo is a location in the tribe of Binyamin, a certain specific regional location. And it says he was sitting in Givo, which is in Binyamin, under the tree. Tachas ho'eshel beroma. Beroma is a location in the tribe of Ephraim. Now, you can't be in two places at once. V'chi ma'inyan givo etzel ramo. What does one have to do with the other? Ela lomar loch, rather. There's a hint in this pasuk to teaches me. Mi goram l'shol sheyeshiv begivo shtei shanim u'mechza. Who caused Shaul to serve as king from Givo for 2.5 years? Tfilosu shel Shmuel haramosi. It was the prayers of Shmuel who came from Ramah. So in the pasuk Givo and Ramah, it's a reference to Shaul who reigned from Givo, was able to last 2.5 years in the monarchy as a result of the prayers of Shmuel who came from Ramah. The Gemara asks, Umi midchi gavra makami gavra? Can one person be knocked out, eliminated because of another person that needs to come in? In other words, we see here that Shmuel was removed because David had to come in, the Gemara, and not because of anything else, just because a second person's time has come to move in. So he answers in, yes, there is a source for that. The Omer of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer of Yonason, my dichtiv. Al kain chotzafti benavim haragtim beimrei fi. The pasuk says describes the people being killed beimrei fi because of my words. B'maaseim lo namar, the death described in the pasuk. It doesn't say because of their sins, their actions, their maisim. Elo beimrei fi, but rather it says through my words, my will. Alma, we see from here that a person can be eliminated simply because that's the will of Hashem, not having to do with his sins. Alma midchi gavra mekami gavra. We see that one person is pushed aside because of someone else. Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchok, Havuyasvi Besudasa. The two of them were sitting at a meal. Omar Le, Rav Nachman, the Rav Yitzchok. And here we don't have a my dichtiv introduction, but rather he says lema mor milsa. Maybe would you kindly say something? Say a dvar Torah. Omar le hochi omar biyochanan ein mesichin v'seuda shemo yakdim kona leveshet biyavo lidei sakona. Rav Yitzchok says, sorry, I can't say anything because conversation during a meal while people are consuming their food could be dangerous. Because as one is talking, so the trachea has to open up, so enabling him to breathe and speak. But at the same time, as swallowing food, that's the veshet goes is the esophagus, and the food being present while he's swallowing could mistakenly go down the open trachea if you're talking at the same time as eating, that leading to danger. But that's called viyavo lidei sakon, come to danger. Bosu desod, after the meal, Omar le, Rav Yitzchok says, Hochi, Omar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said, thus, the Yankiv Ovinu, lo meis, our patriarch Yankiv, never died. He lives forever. Omar le, Rav Nachman asks, V'chi b'chdi, softu savdanayo, v'chontu chantayo, v'kovru kavrayo. B'chdi means for naught. When you look at the psukim in the Chumash, it seems that there was, the pasuk describes a eulogy, that's the saftu saftar, the eulogizers eulogized, and chontu is a embalming, the embalmers embalmed him, and the pasuk describes a burial, and the burial was done for naught. Omar lei, Rav Yitzchok says, mikro ani doresh, my comment of Yankov Avinu lo meis is based on another pasuk, and the pasuk says, Shinemar ve'ato al tiro avdi Yankov nu Hashem ve'al techas Yisrael ki hineni moshiacho me'rochoik ve'zarecho me'eretz shivyom. The pasuk translates as, Kodesh Baruch Hu is addressing Yankiv and says that do not be afraid, because I will save you from the distance, and your seed I will gather from their captivity. Now, who's gathered from captivity? Live people. Makish hu mazaro. In this pasuk, he is compared to his offspring, to his descendants. Mazaro b'chayim, just like his descendants that are gathered in from captivity are alive. Aft hu b'chayim, so too he is alive. Yankiv Ovinu is alive, and he remains alive forever, including the time in the future when there's an ingathering of the exiles. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Koloimer Rochav, Rochav Miyad Nikri. Rochav was the name of the woman that helped in the time of Yehoshua, the entrance of the Jewish people into the land of Israel. She had lived in the walls of Jericho, and in Sefer Yehoshua there is an elaborate description of the story involving Rochav. And Rabbi Yitzchak says, anyone who says her name, Miyad Nikri, he becomes a Balkari. That's a male semen emission. Amalei Rav Nachman, Hano Amino Velo Ichfasli, I say her name and nothing happens to me. Amalei Rav Yitzchak says, Ki Ko Amino, when I said what I said, Beyoido Uvemakiro. That's a reference to someone that knew her and recognized her. Tosfos adds a little more, but we'll go on in the Gemara. Kihavu Miftari Mehadodi, when they were parting ways, Rav Yitzchak and Rav Nachman, Omar Lei, Rav Nachman said, Livruchon Mar, would you give me a blessing? Omar Lei, Rav Yitzchak responds, and here we have a long marking. We call this a Nekuda, a point, Rav Yitzchak, it's a long response. Emshoch Moshal, I'm going to give you an analogy. Lemahadover Doime, what is your request to me to give you a blessing? What is it like? Someone who was walking in the desert. He was famished, fatigued, and thirsty. He found a tree that had sweet fruits, a pleasant shade, and a stream of water passing in front of it. Now, we have a numbering system here. The numbers correspond to one another. The person was ro'ev, so he eats the fruit. That's one. Each one is one. The number two, oyev, is fatigued. Silonoya, that's the pleasant shade. A person who is fatigued benefits from sitting under pleasant shade. And some, obviously thirsty, the stream of water solves that. So that wayfarer ate from the fruits, drank from the water, and rested under the shade. Ukshabikesh Leilech, when he was about to continue his journey, Omar, the wayfarer says, Ilon Ilon Bamaver Ochekah, O tree, how should I bless you? Im Omar Loch Shu Peirosecha Mesukim, if my blessing is that you should merit having sweet fruits, that's not a blessing. Hare Peirosecha Mesukim, your fruit is already sweet. Shehei Tzilchanoe, that your shade should be pleasant. Hare Tzilchanoe, that's already pleasant. Shetayamas Hamayim Overes Tachtecha, that you should merit having a stream of water passing in front of you. Hare Amas Hamayim Overes Tachtecha, there's already a stream passing in front of you. Ela, so what is left for me to bless? The wayfarer says to the tree, Yihi Ratzon, it should be the will of the Almighty, Kol Netiois Shenoitin Mimcha, that all saplings planted from you, when you want to reproduce a tree, so you break off a branch, and you replant it, and a new tree grows. So the blessing is that all those that are planted from you, continuing at the top of Vav Amud Aleph, Yehu kamoischa, should be like you. So now Rabbi Yitzchak says to Rav Nachman, Afato b'ma'averachako, so too, how should I bless you? Im b'toira hare Torah. If I should bless you, that you should have within you Torah, you already have. You already are a Torah scholar. Im b'oisher, if to bless you with wealth, hare osher, you already have wealth. Im b'bonim, hare bonim. And if it's to have children, you already have children. It should be the will of the Almighty that those that come forth from you should be like you. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially with regard to accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.